And we have a very special guest today. His name is Dr. Alan Meltzer. He is an economist and a professor of a political economy at Carnegie Mellon College. He's one of the world's foremost experts on development and applications of monetary policy. He's an author of the two-volume history of the Federal Reserve, a comprehensive academic history of the central bank, served on both President Kennedy's and President Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors, and a frequent critic of the current Federal Reserve under the stewardship of Ben Bernanke. Dr. Meltzer, thank you so much for being with us, sir.
Hi. Nice to be with you.
My pleasure. Now, I'll tell you, right out of the gate, you've been a critic of the Federal Reserve under Ben Bernanke. If you would give us three or four points where you believe the Federal Reserve has gotten a monetary policy wrong since 2008.
Oh, just two or three. The main problem they have, and it's not new with Bernanke, it's just gotten worse with Bernanke, is that they have a short-term focus. They're looking at what's going to happen next week or next month or next quarter, and they have a long-term problem, and they're not even beginning to address it. That's the first thing. Second thing is they stored up over $1 trillion worth of mortgage bonds on their balance sheet. They've expanded their balance sheet threefold. That is from $800 billion to $2.5 trillion. Mm. Now, they don't have a plan for how to reduce it back to something which is going to be non-inflationary. That's a problem. And a big part of that problem is that what they own are mortgage securities to a very considerable extent. Can you imagine in Atlanta, in Florida, in California, selling mortgage securities into this market?
Right. Holy cow.
Yeah. So how are they going to reduce it? Third or fourth, when interest rates have to start rising, we have $15 trillion worth of debt outstanding. So if we raise the interest rate on average by one percentage point, that means $150 billion more of interest payments. That goes on to the deficit. So while Congress is passing back and forth criticisms of the current deficit and how to reduce it, they're going to be adding $150 billion every time they raise the interest rate by 1%. Mm. Now, it won't happen overnight. The average maturity of the debt is about 3 to 4 years. So in 3 to 4 years, that's going to hit. And if they raise the interest rate by 3, 4, 5%, that's going to add $700-$750 billion of additional spending for interest payments. So they need a plan of how they're going to accomplish that. They don't have such a plan.
Do you think the short-term thinking, as you just described, has that kind of thinking has kind of put us in this box that we're in?
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, you know, one of the things I teach my students, and I'm sure many people teach their students something similar, it is when you have a problem, whatever it is, a manufacturing problem, a business problem, a personal problem, there are three questions you always want to ask yourself that are easy to ask and difficult to answer, but they're very important to think through. First one is, where am I? Second one is, where do I have to go? Third, how do I get there from here? Now, those are not easy to answer, but the Fed doesn't ask itself those questions. It just says, you know, listen to the chatter. Much of it is about what are we going to do about the mortgage market now? But that's not what their problem is. Their problem is, how are we going to avoid inflation in the future? How are we going to get the economy, help the economy to get back to a growth path that's going to raise people's incomes?
Right.
Yep. Those are the questions they need to ask themselves. They don't ask that. They say, well, what do we need to do this quarter?
It's interesting. I was watching your, on YouTube, I was watching your testimony on Capitol Hill. I think that Ron Paul was asking you a question or two, and I don't recall the question, but I do remember your statement or part of your answer to the question. It was, you have to do things to give a businessman a belief that they know what their costs are going to be for 5 years. Clearly, the Fed hasn't done that. Clearly, government policy hasn't done that. What could we do as a country to give the businessmen that kind of understanding, that kind of belief? What do we need to do to make that happen?
Well, let's talk about what the businessman's problem is. I mean, as a president going around saying, I want to increase your tax rates, that hardly stirs up confidence.
Right.
What they need to know is, they need to know if they're going to make an investment, we teach them in business school, figure out what the expected return is going to be year by year as best you can. It's always uncertain. But it's made more uncertain because they don't know what the tax rate is going to be. They don't know what energy is going to cost. I mean, we have this a huge problem with the EPA wants to shut down coal power plants. Now, maybe that's a good thing, but it is a foolish thing to try to do all at once because it'll cut out the power and raise the costs while we go through the transition to some other power system. So we don't know what that's going to cost. We don't know what health care is going to cost. We don't know what finance is going to cost with all these new regulations coming down the line. You know, as John Boehner said about Boeing, you know, the Boeing decision, he said, you know, Boeing can move its plant and building of planes out of the country, but it can't move them to South Carolina. That's not a very sensible thing. And when you talk to businessmen, they're very familiar with the Boeing decision, and they understand it as being counterproductive from their standpoint. They don't know what the administration is going to do, but they don't think it's going to be anything friendly. So those are great uncertainties, which have been added on to the normal uncertainties of life.
Right. Interesting.
So what do you do if you're a businessman? You hold cash. You wait, especially if you're thinking about starting a new company.
In your long and distinguished career, you've seen a lot of things. You worked for President Kennedy and Reagan, and President Reagan as well.
Yes.
Do you ever remember a time where it was easier to move a Boeing plant or any kind of manufacturing facility to another country than it was to another state? Have you ever seen that before?
Never.
How did we get here, in your opinion?
Madness. I mean, absolute madness.
Agreed.
There are people who think that they know how to run the world. And they're in charge in our government at the moment. So they don't think they have to ask. You know, one of the things I've learned in life is no matter what the business is, when you talk to the people who run it, you find out it's a heck of a lot more complicated than it looks like from the outside.
Right.
You know, there's just all kinds of decisions that have to be made. Well, you just can't sit in Washington and say, well, we're going to cut down on the use of coal, so shift your production of power. That takes time. It takes investment. It's not going to happen overnight. So if they go through with those rules, it's going to be worse, not better. Now, when the president talks about taxing millionaires, you know, he's talking about taxing people who make very large incomes and people who run new companies. And that, you know, they don't just take the money that they earn and put it under the bed.
Right.
They put it to work if they have confidence that it's going to earn a return. And what they lack now is the confidence it's going to earn a return. And when I testified about that at one point at the House Banking Committee, even several Democratic congressmen on the record said they agreed with me.
Right. How can you not agree with that? I mean, any intelligent person, anybody that's ever run a business has to agree. I've done it. I do it right now. They have to agree with that. Let me ask you this. You know, we're kind of shifting gears here. What did you think of TARP? What did you think of stimulus? And what do you think of or what do you think of those two things? And we'll go from there.
I think they were bad policy. I mean, we've had in both administrations, that is Republican and Democrat, over the years, we've learned that the most effective policies that the government can have are to cut business tax rates. Arthur Oaken, who was the architect of the Kennedy-Johnson program, he wrote a book. That's what he concluded. The Reagan tax cuts, they restored growth. You know, the economy grew well. The Clinton administration, they put a little bit of taxes on, but basically they had a very certain policy. You could plan your future knowing what it was going to be like.
Right.
And that's the very opposite of what we have now. Now, one of the things we've learned in economics over the years that I think almost all economists believe is that temporary tax cuts do not do much. Temporary spending increases for the same reason don't do much. I mean, think about it. Just think about it as a common sense problem. You hire more teachers for 1 year. Are those teachers going to go out and buy a refrigerator or a car? Of course not. They're going to say, am I going to be employed
right,
next
right.
year? I better save what I can today. So you don't get the spending increases that you get from permanent tax cuts when you give people confidence that they can plan their future. And that's what we're taking away from them in this administration, and that's devastating.
We're talking today to Dr. Alan Meltzer, economist, professor at the Carnegie Mellon University, advisor to President Kennedy and President Reagan. Sir, if people want to find out more about you, do you have a website or a place they can...
Yeah, I have a website with lots of publications they can read. I've been writing a lot of op-eds. They can follow my op-eds on what's wrong with the current policies, and... I believe, you know, the same mistakes that we see here, we see in Europe. They have a very short-term view. They're putting out fires, but they're not planning for the long term. I mean, you hardly ever hear them mention, let alone do something about the fact that it costs 20 to 25% more to manufacture in Greece, Italy, Spain, or Portugal than it does in Germany. Mm. Now, reducing the debt and solving the debt problem is important, but it's not going to produce growth unless we do something about the 20 to 25% difference in costs.
Right. All right, we're talking today to Dr. Alan Meltzer. We're going to come up on a hard break, but Dr. Meltzer, thank you so much for being with us today. It's an honor and a privilege to have you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
My pleasure, sir. All right, we're coming